When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. Dave's here in spirit. Jerry's here in spirit. Who else is here in spirit? We can't say, because we can't see spirits, because we're among the living. This is Short Stuff. Let's go.
This is the story of Madam C.J. Walker, who Guinness Book of World Records says is the first self-made female millionaire in the world.
Yeah, not African-American female or woman millionaire. Straight up first woman in America to be a millionaire through her own work and hard labor.
That's right. She has a very
That's
cool
the more succinct way of putting it.
She has a very cool story. She was a daughter of sharecroppers and ended up building this huge brand, which employed and empowered many hundreds of women. Octavia Spencer, I think, played her in Self-Made. It was a miniseries on Netflix recently. Mm-hmm. And she was born Sarah Breedlove on a cotton plantation in 1867, one of five kids.
It's a great name, too. I love that name.
Breedlove?
Sarah Breedlove in particular.
Yeah. Has a nice ring, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. If you're wondering why she's C.J. Walker, we'll get to that. But
yeah, just wait.
In Louisiana, she was, you know, she struggled in life. She was an orphan by the age of seven, mm-hmm. and then went to live with her older sister, Luvinia, another very nice name. And they settled in Mississippi, in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where she did domestic work and worked in the cotton fields.
Yeah, and I mean, like, she was born so close to slavery that she was the first child in her family who was born free. Like, that's how...
Right.
That's how recent slavery was a thing. So her lot in life wasn't particularly much better because it was just so close to the slave era. And when she was 14, as a matter of fact, she got married to a man named Moses McWilliams, at least in part to escape her home life, basically.
Yeah, her brother-in-law apparently was not a very nice guy and mistreated her. So she got out of there with Moses and had a daughter named, I guess, Lelia or Lilia, very pretty name, L-E-L-I-A. I think she later changed her name to put an A on the front of it and was a Lilia. And her husband sadly died in 1887, so she moved to St. Louis, where her brothers lived. They were barbers there, and started earning money doing laundry, making about $1.50 a day.
So you're like, okay, Where are we going to get to the fact that she's a self-made person? Like, she's, you know, starting to get up there in years. She's like in her 20s now. She's making $1.50 a day, which is enough to put her kid through school.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked, and as far as the Westlake inflation calculator says, that's still only $43 a day in today's money. And I feel like we're missing something, Chuck. I think that that's not a full picture of you know, what money was worth. I think things were just cheaper. I think life was just less expensive at other times in American and probably world history than it is today.
I think you're right.
You want to take a break, regroup, and then talk about the real beginning of Madam C.J. Walker?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists. including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players' rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, Chuck. So we said that Madam C.J. Walker was the first self-made woman millionaire in the United States. She's an African-American woman who was born almost into slavery in the South. But she became self-made because she ran into a problem in the 1890s. Her hair started falling out. And I could not find what the cause of her hair loss was. I saw a scalp condition almost everywhere that made me suspect that it's somebody said scalp condition and everybody else found that same source. But I couldn't find an actual diagnosed medical condition. But she started losing her hair and she found out in pretty quick order that there was not a lot of help out there for her to stop her hair loss or possibly regrow hair. So she tried to figure it out herself.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason her hair was falling out was because there were not products designed specifically for women's hair or hair of anyone with from African descent. So It was a market catered to Caucasian styled hair. Mm-hmm. And so their hair would suffer as a result. So she, there were a few products out there. She went to one line, Poro Hair, P-O-R-O, mm-hmm. Which was created by Annie Turnbow Malone, another black entrepreneur. And it helped some. But she even sold this stuff for about a year and a half. But the whole time she was like, I need to come up with my own formula here to help myself and to help others.
Yeah. So about a decade or so later, she got married a second time to a man named Charles Joseph Walker, hence the C.J. Walker. And he was in sales. He was a kind of a marketing whiz. And the two of them together became what you would probably refer to as an early power couple, basically. They really complemented and rounded out one another's strengths. And they formed basically this hair care empire, the very beginning of this hair care empire. Sarah adopted the name Madam C.J. Walker, and that's where the whole thing began.
Yeah, and it was called Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower.
Awesome.
Right. I mean, talk about marketing whiz. Let's just call it what it is and what it does right out of the gate.
It makes me want to throw my money at her. Say, take my money.
So she founded this company in 1906, and there was no national distribution chain. So they hit the road. They traveled all around the South for about a year and a half, as Mark Cuban would say, just hustling, selling door to door, doing it the hard way, doing demos and in front of people so they knew what it did. A lot of times they would go to churches to do this. And she had these before and after photos. Again, great marketing. And these women started buying it up. It was 50 cents a tin. And they said, we love this stuff. We love that there's a product for us. And she used to say, there would be no hair growing industry if I hadn't invented it.
Right. The thing is, though, is like she wasn't selling. She wasn't a huckster. She actually had a recipe that was lost in its exactness to time. But this stuff actually did apparently regrow hair, or at least halt hair loss. So I'm not sure where they found it, but somebody documented that the ingredients included coconut oil, beeswax, petrolatum, which I guess is like petroleum jelly today,
mm-hmm.
copper sulfate, and precipitated sulfur, and it had a nice violet scent, which I like. I don't think it's used quite as often as it should be. But the key ingredient, the active ingredient in this thing was sulfur, that was probably what was working and causing women to say, this stuff actually works, I want some more.
Yeah, and she had a whole system. She had a vegetable-based shampoo. She had something called glossine, which smoothed out hair that was pressed with a hot comb. And so she had a little, you know, a hair care beauty line basically going in the early 1900s to the tune of about $150,000 a year in today dollars by 1908, which is some pretty good money.
Yeah, and we should say there's one thing that I think this How Stuff Works article just kind of walks right past, and that is that when you used her walker system, you were an African-American or black woman who was making your hair akin to a white woman's hairdo. And there was a period in time in black history, especially in like the 1960s and 70s, where Madam Walker was not particularly thought of that highly because she had made an empire built on emulating Caucasian beauty. And it wasn't until, you know, years later that she finally was seen for what she was, which was a downright radical feminist and civil rights activist who couldn't read or write from what I saw her entire life, and yet made a really amazing living for herself, but also empowered other black women to be more than just, you know, domestic help or laborers, you know?
Yeah, it's a great story. She divorced Walker in 1912, moved to Indianapolis, and then in the position she was in with that kind of money and that kind of sort of growing fame, started kind of buddying up with some of the more well-heeled activists in the country, like Mary McLeod Bethune and Booker T. Washington,
mm-hmm.
Moved to Harlem, which was where you wanted to be if you wanted to be at the center of black culture in the early 1900s. And she and her daughter opened up a salon. It was a very nice salon.
Yeah.
Parquet floors and velvet seats and grand piano in the lobby. It was a really, really kind of a fine place.
Yeah. Apparently in the teens, the 19-teens, she had something like 20,000 to 40,000 women, beauty culturists, working for her. Tens of thousands of women.
That's amazing.
And she held a convention, the first convention of her beauty culturists, her agents running around selling her stuff, in Philadelphia, I believe. And one of the things that she was noted for was when she gave speeches, it was a lot more, or about a lot more, than just, you know, pumping them up to go sell her product. It was about them demanding, you know, better treatment, to be mm-hmm. treated like human beings, to demand a better, more socially just world. Like, her speeches were peppered with that kind of empowerment, telling women, black women, no less, at you know, in the early 20th century, that they should expect to be treated better than they were by men of all races and by the white race in particular, which is, again, it's just radical. There's no other way to put it at the time.
In 1918, she moved to Villa Loaro, a mansion in Irvington on the Hudson, about 45 minutes north of Manhattan. And this place was a legit mansion, like 34 rooms. It was huge and an amazing place. It was designed by an African-American architect named Vertner Woodson Tandy.
Great name. What's sad is, you know, she was able to enjoy her wealth for a while, but she died the next year after she moved into this incredible 20,000 square foot mansion with her daughter. But she left a really great legacy. Apparently, she left 2/3 of her estate to historically black universities, to the NAACP. Like, she really put her money where her mouth was. She was a really benevolent benefactor to a lot of great civil rights causes, and basically laid the foundation for black women entrepreneurs still to this day, as a matter of fact.
Great story.
Wonderful story. So hats off to Madam C.J. Walker, a.k.a. Sarah Breedlove, a.k.a. a genuinely admirable person. And that means, everybody, that Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.